Bickley and Murata, Social Studies.
And for Social Studies, we hand things right back off to Sarah Cazell at the Ak-Chin Community Studios. Hi, Sarah.
Hello, fellas.
Hi, Sarah.
Welcome back to the work week.
Thank you very much.
I'm sure your weekend was a huge escape for you.
Actually, oh my gosh, it's so funny you say that, weekend and escape, because I might have run away from Dan Bickley this weekend.
You did?
Bick, did you go to the Green Belt in Scottsdale this weekend?
I did.
I knew it. I saw your mane from far away.
Wow. I was riding a bike with my daughter.
Yes. And I looked like a schlub, and I was like, Bick cannot see me like this.
Is that right?
And so I put my head down, and I ran away from you. Yeah. So
I felt like I was in Disney World. How many people were out there? Was that nuts?
It was not ideal.
No, it was not ideal.
But I feel like I socially distanced appropriately, especially from you.
Yeah, you were great. I commend your social distancing.
So funny.
Quote, there was so many people out there, it was nuts, end quote, attributed to two people who were there.
Right.
Well, I was not within 6 feet of anyone, Vinny.
Yeah, no, and my daughter was right behind me. We were riding bikes, but it was just... So I didn't feel like I was getting up in anybody's space, but I also felt like everybody else in Arizona had the same idea we did that day.
We stayed off the walking path so that we were just on the grass and like not close to other people. Yeah. But yeah, there were more people out than I expected.
Are you going to shame me for bike riding with my daughter, Vinny?
No.
Yes.
No.
Okay. Yes,
he is. I'm terrified to leave the confines of my home at this point. For a number of different reasons.
The pandemic being only one of them.
At this point.
I'd like to hear number 2, 3, and 4 on that.
Yeah, I'm not privately with you. I don't want to talk about that on the air.
Right.
Fair enough. Well, let's get into it, you guys. Social Studies is brought to you by Sonic America's Drive-In. Stop by your nearest Sonic today for the new sweet and tangy bacon slinger. Only $2.99. It is now at Sonic, but for a limited time. So... let's get into the first question, you guys. This is, I don't really need to give you a lead in. You understand why I'm asking this question. Which sport do you think would work best without fans? Last week, we asked which one would be the weirdest, the most awkward without fans. Today, which one would work the best? Major League Baseball, NBA, NFL, or NHL?
I'm going to vote Major League Baseball. If you do it in the right venues, you can do it with camera angles where you'd never even show the stands. I think that would be the easiest to do.
I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any of them would work as well without fans, but I think a lot of what Bick said holds true. I would vote for MLB.
Don't you think, though, because we talk about it the least of all the four, the NHL is least impacted by the fans, though?
Probably.
So. Yeah, probably.
Well, that's
what's your point?
There is some energy.
I'm just saying that might work the
how
best. Nobody thinks of it.
How is the WWE without fans, Jarrett?
Very odd. I'll talk about it off the grid, but I'll give you my WrestleMania review.
Okay.
It's interesting you say that, Jarrett, because the NFL got the fewest number of votes by far. Only 5% of our listeners think that the NFL would work best without fans. 55% of the votes are with you two. They say that Major League Baseball would be best without fans in attendance. 22% say the NHL, 17% say the NBA, and 5%, like I said, for the NFL.
Interesting.
Yes. The next question, sticking with the NFL, actually, talking about different types of quarterbacks as we look ahead to the NFL draft, which is just a couple weeks from now. There was a panel of reporters on ESPN that asked what the Bengals should do with that number one pick. We will get to what they said in a second. But just generally speaking, which type of quarterback would you prefer to have? A mobile, dual threat, running guy, or someone who sits in the pocket and passes?
I find this a very, very difficult question to answer as presented without knowing the identities of who's in those descriptions. You know?
Sure, sure.
Now, okay. Would I rather have Philip Rivers as my traditional? No, I don't want him as my traditional pocket passer. Generally speaking, though, I do like a quarterback's ability to hurt teams with his legs, so I would lean that way. But again, it's hard for me to answer fully without knowing who these guys are.
I would say all things being equal, I would say that the way the game is going now, if you get the right dual threat quarterback, you're a step ahead of defenses right now. So I'm going to go that way.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess the way it's worded too, a dual threat would say, okay, he can beat you with his arm or his legs, and
right.
That makes that an easy question, I guess.
Yeah, get the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
75% of the vote went with dual threat / running quarterback. 25% say they would prefer a traditional pocket passer.
Gotcha.
Yes. Now, this leads into another NFL question. The worst number one pick of all time. Because right now, the Bengals are expected to take Joe Burrow, but there's been some talk, I guess, over the weekend about Tua Tagovailoa going to Cincinnati instead. Who do you think would be the, or is, the worst number one pick of all time when you look back on NFL history? Open-ended question.
That's a good, I just like the way the tweet was. It says NFL teams, who is the number one? No teams responded to this. I think it's supposed to say fans.
Well, not yet. Not yet.
Yeah, come on.
It's got to be Jamarcus Russell, does it not?
Has to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a. I think there's a good list of guys out there.
Kajana Carter, right? Was he number one?
Yeah, I mean, there's guys.
He was.
Yeah, but nobody like Jamarcus. From the money he was paid to... just the stories that, I mean, Tim Couch was the number one pick, right?
Yep, but don't say anything bad about Tim Couch around Bruce Arians.
No, yeah, that's right. You don't.
Here's some
that.
Of the names on the bad side, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Eric Fisher, I know he's still playing, but has he had the impact as a number one overall pick?
Oh, heck no.
Sam Bradford, I know that's a bad word. I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, wash your mouth out, Vinny.
Jake Long was a number one overall pick. Had a decent career.
Oh.
Courtney Brown. Cleveland Browns, 2000. Kajana Carter. Dan Wilkinson was never all that great.
Big Daddy.
Steve Empman. Andre Bruce. There's been a lot of bad number one overall picks.
Yeah. Shout out to one of our listeners, John Lewis, who put his vote for Jamarcus Russell by saying, let me get my purple drink and think about it.
I mean, remember some of these guys, Vic? Cousineau, George Rogers.
Yeah, well, you went to Courtney Brown.
O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Simpson.
Walt Podolsky.
Podolsky.
I've never heard the name Walt Podolsky before in my life. But he was the number one overall pick in 1972
really?
Of the Buffalo Bills.
Wow.
As a defensive end, he finished his career with zero sacks. Oh, wait. That's before they counted sacks. Never mind. Sorry, Walt. I didn't mean to demean you.
The Podolsky family is very upset.
Yeah, I apologize. I'll send him a note.
Pathology. That was bad. Sorry. All right. Oh, we only have 2 minutes left. Let's get going on this
we
next
question.
We
can do whatever we want to do, Sarah.
That's a good
time
point.
Is a flat circle.
Oh, indeed it is. Indeed it is. All right. This is not my expertise, so I will let you guys drive the boat on this one. The best sports video game of all time? What is it?
Whew. I've been very, very outspoken on this subject. Doesn't mean it's the best. It was my favorite. It's the game that I spent the most time playing.
Okay.
Is NHL 94.
Okay.
I absolutely love that game. And that's probably a game that I was best at.
What team?
My team was the Vancouver Canucks, interestingly enough. And I picked it because I kind of liked the Canucks at that point. But I stumbled into something. Cliff Ronning was on the Canucks at that point.
Okay.
And he was friends with an EA engineer who gave player ratings. So they gave him like a hidden player rating. He was never
really
a great player. But he was he was like Gretzky and Lemieux had a kid on that game.
Is that right?
That's funny.
And I didn't find out about that until years later
bad.
When he admitted it. But I just kind of stumbled.
They did make the Stanley Cup Finals that year. So
yeah. There was also a baseball game that I loved called Baseball Stars. That was for... the NES Entertainment System. It wasn't a great game, but it was a hell of a lot of fun.
I'm going to vote for the Madden NFL series. It's funny because I've got very limited experience gaming. I was always really good at the Madden games. The games that Vinny are good at, I was always really intimidated by. When you're playing like NBA or NHL and the action is seamless, which involves passing and moving, in sports like football and baseball, I could handle that from a conceptual standpoint, yeah. Video game-wise.
Yeah.
I was never good, and I never tried to be good at those kind of games that you're really good at.
Yeah, NBA Jam was up
there. Yeah, NBA Jam, I thought for sure you were going to say, Dan.
And I also loved...
I liked NBA Jam.
Tony La Russa Baseball for Sega Genesis was one of my favorites as well.
You've got Tecmo Bowl in here quite a bit.
Oh, that was a great game, too. Never mind, I love them all.
NFL Blitz, NCAA Football...
Those were great.
Blades of Steel.
Blades of Steel.
Double Dribble. RBI Baseball.
They were all fun.
Mike Tyson's Punch-Out is my answer, by the way.
I liked the arcade version of Punch-Out better. Because that came out long before the Mike Tyson. Max Starks voted in this. He said Tiger Woods Golf.
That was really good. I think for GameCube, maybe.
Oh, man, there's so many. There's the right one, though. Wild Thing Vaughn says NHL 94 on the Genesis.
That's right.
Awesome. Yes, there we go. Thank you, Sarah.
Yeah, thank
Great
you.
Great job, Sarah.
Thank you.
Social Studies. We do it every day at 1 o'clock. Coming up next, we'll chat with our old friend, Pedro Gomez from ESPN. He'll join us next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We roll on this Monday. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Don't forget ASU's upset of number one ranked Kansas from last basketball season. That'll be replayed on our airwaves tonight starting at 6 o'clock, right after Burns and Gambo. Right now, it is our pleasure to welcome back to the show one of our favorites, an old friend, Pedro Gomez from ESPN, joins us here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Pedro, how you holding up these days, my friend?
Probably the same as everyone else. House is cleaner than ever. Projects being done. Just, riding it out like everyone else.
Dude, none of that applies to me. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I haven't got to the cleaning stage yet, Pedro. When should I expect
you
to
be the house
to...
project thing?
I had little choice in the matter, as everyone, we all know.
Okay. All right. Let's talk a little bit about contingency plans. How realistic is it to start up baseball without fans, leaning on either the Cactus League and or the Grapefruit League? Do you like the idea? Do you think they can pull it off?
Man, I mean, I understand why, because, you'd minimize travel, no flights, things like that. I understand the reasoning behind it. These are extenuating circumstances. We've never seen anything like this, so... The fact that they're even kicking these ideas around means that there is some merit to that possibility. So I would say that anything is possible in 2020, as we've already seen. And if in fact it comes to that, it would be bizarre as hell, but it would at least constitute having some sort of a season.
Yeah, I know Jeff Passan, your colleague at ESPN, wrote a big piece about what's going on in South Korea and the return of their baseball, and it's coming back at the end of the month, and there's a picture of everybody playing with masks on. Do you think at this point, I almost don't like asking questions like this, Pedro, do you think at this point that's a realistic place for American baseball to kind of keep an eye on is South Korea, or do you think the circumstances are just too different?
Well, I mean, when you look at how they've been able to flatten their curve very quickly, I think that's why they're looking at things like that, as opposed to us over here who have not been able to do that yet. Mm-hmm. And so there's therefore are no contingencies in place yet. But I think that, if you're a professional sports league, I think you'd be derelict of duty if you didn't at least take a look at what someone else might be doing and see if it could work. Now, we don't know if that will happen at the end of the month. I know that's the plan. If it does and it's working, I think you'd have to at least take a look at what they're doing and see if you can implement anything that they're doing over here.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's such a, Vince, as you know, I mean, anybody who says they know anything is full of it because nobody knows anything.
Yeah. No, it's true. All right, let me ask you this. If it's true that this would be a good time for all sports to do some self-inventory to kind of say, What can we try here that would be new and different? Is there anything baseball should be considering of completely changing when they do come back? Like robot umpires, for instance? Is there anything that Major League Baseball might want to use this opportunity to implement a change going forward?
I think robot umpires is probably not in the cards right now, only because there's no way to implement it on such short notice. So I doubt that right now. However, I could absolutely see, look, if there's a condensed season and at some point they say, we're going to play 100 games over 108 days with doubleheaders twice a week and things like that, I do believe that starting a runner at second base in the 10th inning is highly probable because you're going to be shorthanded as it is, roster-wise, pitching-wise, even though rosters will in all likelihood be expanded. But you don't want to spend time on a 15-inning game. Therefore, I think that you very well could see something like the runner starting at second base in the 10th inning of a tie game. It may only be just for this season, but, you know, they've already implemented that at the minor league level. So, you know, that idea could very well take hold. And they might say at the end of the season, you know what, this didn't work out so bad. Let's just do it again and keep it in there. Who knows? But I'm saying with such odd circumstances, I think that's one thing that we absolutely could see.
Pedro Gomez, ESPN, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. You mentioned minor league baseball, and obviously much of the focus, understandably, is on major league baseball. You hear these stories almost daily about minor league players, how they're going to be compensated through this work stoppage, and it hits home for you and your son, Rio, who's in the Boston Red Sox organization. How has this affected players like your son who you know, are in the minor leagues right now, and how is he dealing with it?
I mean, he's home. You know, everybody was sent home a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been here for several weeks, and he still throws. I actually get out there and play catch with him a couple of times a week as well. But he does get somebody else who's in another organization who's a college friend of his, and they get out and long toss with each other. But I'll get out there. You know, financially, you know, he's here at home, so it's not horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Look, he's going to get paid a fraction. It's not the full amount. But he doesn't have expenses right now, so that will somewhat compensate him. But, you know, let's not kid ourselves. Minor league pay is next to nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys make very, very little amount of money for 5 months of the season. They don't get paid the other 7 months. You know, you're not in it for the money by any means. You're in it to try to get the money at some point if you can get to the bigs. But that's not what you're doing at the minor league level by any means. So, you know, look, we're fortunate he can be here at home here in Ahwatukee. And, you know, we can go to the park. We can play catch. He can still work out here at home, things like that. But, you know, it's not as easy for other minor leaguers. I know that, especially like the Latin kids, who some of the Venezuelans have not been able to go home to Venezuela.
Wow. Yeah.
So they're stuck in the Dominican Republic just because of the turmoil in Venezuela right now and things like that. So, you know, on our front, it's not nearly as bad, but there are other kids who I think are feeling much more of a pinch. And who knows if they're even able to stay in shape at any means. Yeah.
All right, back in the day, it was a seismic event when Ken Kendrick nudged Jerry Colangelo out of the ownership group with the Diamondbacks. The news now that there is a handful of minority investors who are either being asked to be bought out or else, is it a sports story? Is it of any significance to you? Should it be on our radar screens for any reason?
I mean, anytime there's a somewhat of a change, it probably is somewhat, you know, should be on the radar. But I think for a general fan, that's not who the fans care about. They don't pay to go watch an owner work or anything like that. Look, the San Francisco Giants have had upheaval with their managing general partner for years, having rotated different people in and out of that role. And as long as the Giants keep playing well, the fans don't care. So, you know, it's one of those wait and sees. see mm-hmm. what will happen down the road. But, you know, Kendrick has been the point man for, holy cow, I hate to say it, but about 20 years now. Yeah. Or not 20, but 15-ish or so. And, you know, they've been somewhat competitive. This year certainly was looking very promising until all of this happened. That's not to say it still can't be, but, you know, everything is on hold. Who knows if there will be a this season. So it's hard, I think, for a general okay. fan to say, oh, this is interesting.
Yeah. Pedro Gomez, our guest. And before we let you go, Pedro, I don't know about you, but I've been watching a ton of sports movies during all of this. So with your expertise in baseball, if you have to sit down on the couch to watch one baseball movie during quarantine, which one are you picking?
I mean, I've seen so many of them. I still like, you know, Robert Redford. Sitting up for the New York Knights. I love that. I love, you know, Nuke LaLoosh pitching for the Durham Bulls. You know, those are probably at the top of my list. You know, if you want to cry, well, then let's put on Kevin Costner with James Earl Jones.
Yep. Good picks. Pedro, thanks for the time. Good to catch up with you, and stay safe, okay?
Of course. Of course, boys. Take care. Be safe.
See you, bud.
Thank you, Pedro Gomez, ESPN, our guest on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Coulter, your family-owned dealership for Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti. Coming up next, we hand out some Monday hardware. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Bickley and Murata. Handing out the hardware.
On Mondays, we do it every week. It's hardware. It's our version of the award show. And it's brought to you by Revitalize. Make changes that can last a lifetime with Revitalize. Call them today for your consultation at 480-435-3557 or online at fatlossphoenix.com. I can't see you, Bick. I assume you've got your tuxedo on. Very, very, you know, designer look you got going with the new haircut and all. Why don't you kick us off for some hardware?
Okay, my first award is, yeah, I'll need to see the birth certificate on that one award. And it is to, I don't know if you've seen this on Twitter, there's something about a 392-year-old shark that is wandering the ocean. Did you see this, Vinny?
I did not.
You did not see this?
No.
All right. Yeah, I'll get the entire story. I flagged it and retweeted it today.
Is that a good name for a band? I don't know.
392-year-old shark. How does a shark live to 392 years of age?
Well,
and
they
who
eat
would
right
want to live?
Yeah, a lot right. of exercise.
A lot of fish oil.
glass of red wine every day.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Moderation. Everything in moderation, right? Could you imagine the hell you would be in, Vinny, if you had to live your existence for 392 years?
Oh, my gosh. You know, this whole crisis has made me rethink some things, but there's never a crisis that can make me want to live to 392.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, I got to look that up. What does a 392-year-old shark even look like? Do they age?
Oh, well, they've had a lot of Botox. Yeah. I'm sorry, that's Mark Cuban. That's the not quite as old as shark. So this shark has been around in the ocean since 1627.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, the BBC reported it.
How would they know?
I don't know. That's my whole point.
Yeah.
And you know he's lying about his age. He's probably 420.
He's probably 512.
Yeah.
That's right.
You don't look a day over 350. First award is the It Is Realistic After All Award, and I'm giving it to NASCAR driver Bubba Wallace. Did you see this, Bick? You know, NASCAR's been running these iRacing events.
Yeah.
So they had this event at the Bristol Speedway. Bubba Wallace gets crashed into, you know, a few times what he thought was on purpose. He didn't like it. Wallace crashed into Clint Bowyer, to which Bowyer told the announcing team, "I got Bubba." Wallace responded on the stream by saying, "That's it. That's why I don't take this blank serious. Peace out." He quit halfway through the race. Well, these things are so realistic. These iRaces actually have sponsorship behind them. One of the companies that was sponsoring Bubba Wallace is Blue Emu, the pain relief brand. They pulled out from their sponsorship. Quote, "We aren't sponsoring Bubba anymore," Blessing told the Action Network, this guy, Ben Blessing, who runs the company. Can you imagine if he did that in real life on a track? Yes, I can't imagine it. But the thing is this, it's not real life.
That's my, help me figure this out. That's unbelievable to me.
It's like the equivalent of taking the Monopoly board and flipping it over.
Yeah.
Get annoyed with the
people. Bubba Wallace tweeted, "Bah ha ha, I'm dying at my mentions right now. I ruined so many people's day by quitting a video game. Bah ha ha, a video game. Damn, quarantine life is rough."
Wow, that's interesting. That's interesting. All right, my next award, Vinny, is the new craze award, and I'm giving it to the Pink Whitney. Have you heard about this?
No.
You've not heard about this?
No.
Okay, this is
Where have I been? Oh yeah, I've been locked inside.
No, it's a new alcoholic beverage. It is Barstool Sports is involved. Paul Bissonnette is involved in this. It's a blend of vodka and pink lemonade, Vinny.
All right, cool.
That's all it is?
Yeah. Yeah, but the packaging is really different, and apparently it's like the new rage.
I think they've had those before, haven't they? I mean, vodka's gotten mixed with everything over the years.
Yeah, right.
So it's new, but not so new?
It's a new collaboration. The logo Spittin' Chiclets is on it. Barstool
gotcha.
Sports is on it.
Gotcha.
That kind of thing.
I would make one for myself, except I don't have any pink lemonade or I don't have any vodka. So I'm kind of 0 for 2. My next award is the That's Not Proper Social Distancing Award, and I'm giving it to Floyd Mayweather's daughter, Ayanna, the 19-year-old. Who is a singer and social media influencer known as Yaya. She was arrested in Houston on Saturday morning after an alleged incident involving a rapper NBA Youngboy and another woman. According to the reports, the arrest she was taken into jail at 1:30 a.m. on Saturday morning after a 25-year-old woman was stabbed and hospitalized. The woman, LaPatra Jacobs, has since undergone surgeries. Her injuries are non-life-threatening, per the report. A, you're just not supposed to go to somebody's house right now, Yaya, and you can't stab somebody unless you get within 6 feet of them. Yeah. Come on, do you not know what's going on?
Oh,
brother.
Maybe she was using a fencing sword.
That's
They're
funny.
Still not 6 feet. I guess with the lunge, you might be able to reach. But
my next award is the Mark the Dates Award. I'm giving it to the PGA Tour. I don't know if you saw this. There's a tweet out there from Joel Beal, who works for Golf Digest. We know that the Masters now has been rescheduled in November, but it looks like there's a framework for the return of the PGA Tour, Vinny. According to Joel Beal, who's got a blue check mark next to his name, the tour will begin mid-June with no fans at the Memorial. Okay, mid-June. The PGA Championship is August 6th. The Ryder Cup, September 25th, and the U.S. Open, September 17th. So that's sort of the truncated PGA Tour that might be coming to life at the end of
the
summer.
Masters in November.
And the Masters in November.
There's a reason for hope. I'm all for it.
Yep.
My next award is the Well Done Award. And this could have been given out last week, but it was April Fool's last week, and not too many great jokes were out there. But the Daily Journal newspaper of Tupelo, Mississippi, did you see their sports transaction?
Yeah, that was really cool.
On their agate page?
Yeah, that was really cool.
They did all, like, sports movie acquisitions. So, Major League, Cleveland Indians, signed catcher Jake Taylor, relief pitcher Ricky Vaughn, third baseman Roger Dorn, outfielder Willie Mays Hayes, and outfielder Pedro Serrano to one-year contracts. Oh, and they named Lou Brown manager. That's a big day. Tigers starting pitcher Billy Chappell announced his retirement. The New York Knights signed outfielder Roy Hobbs. The Mets signed second baseman Chico Escuela and starting pitcher Sid Finch. They went through all the sports and did it. I thought that was really, really cool.
Yeah, I thought it was cool, too, when I saw that. You beat me to that. I wish I would have thought of that. The Loyalty Award, Vinny, I'm giving to Al Kaline, the Detroit Tigers great, who passed away today at the age of 85, spent 22 years with the Detroit Tigers. Nobody else.
Mr. Tiger, is that his name?
Mr. Tiger.
Yeah, he was, when I was very young, I remember having an Al Kaline baseball card. And I ruined it because I was an idiot.
Of course.
But I don't have any recollection of him playing. He might have been done right about the time I was born.
Yeah.
He started really, really young, right?
I think so.
Like 17
well,
or something.
Well, he went 22 years. Yeah, I think, yeah, he went from 17 to age 39.
Now,
I think you're right on the money.
This has been some week for Tiger news, right? The Tiger King, Al Kaline, the Bronx Tiger that got coronavirus.
Yeah.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. Tiger Woods, you up.
Yeah, well, Tiger Woods will be up later this week. They're
yeah,
they're going to be showing the great rounds from Augusta.
Al Kaline broke into the major leagues when he was 18 years old. Ended up with 399 home. You couldn't bring him back for one home run, Detroit. 399.
Right,
home
right.
Run.
I know.
My next award is the That's Not Proper Social Distancing Part 2 Award. And I'm giving it to Manchester City defender Kyle Walker. He's had to apologize for reportedly paying two sex workers to visit his residence the day before he urged people to stay at home and follow the protocols during the coronavirus pandemic.
Wow.
He took out, he said in a statement to the Sun newspaper, I want to take this opportunity to issue a public apology for the choices I made last week, which have resulted in a story today about my private life in a tabloid newspaper. They found out about it because one of the workers, 21-year-old Louise McNamara, she spilled the beans to the newspaper. It said her and a 24-year-old Brazilian woman went to his house outside Manchester, and there was an exchange of money for services.
Boy.
Oops.
No words, Vinny. No
Oops.
Words. Oops.
There you go. That's Hardware. It's brought to you by Revitalize. We do it every Monday. I cannot wait to hear a blow-by-blow recap of WrestleMania coming up next. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Bickley and Murata, Song of the Day.
I think we played this before, but it was so apropos today because of your award given to the Pink Whitney. This song is called Pink Lemonade.
Okay.
By James Bay. Catchy little ditty. I'm reading more about the Pink Whitney.
Do you guys like a pink lemonade or regular lemonade better?
I like a regular. I like them both, but I would take regular over
I'm not I'm not a huge lemonade fan. I'd take both. I would say both.
We haven't heard that one in a while.
We haven't.
That is today's song of the day. Today's Sanderson Ford poll question on the front page of ArizonaSports.com. Who will be the Cardinals' most impactful defensive addition? Will it be Jordan Phillips, Devondre Campbell, Devon Kennard? What do you got, Bick?
Devondre Campbell.
You're going Campbell. Mm-hmm. All right. 40% say Devondre Campbell, 40% say Devon Kennard, 20% Jordan Phillips right now. Early in the voting, I will say, but you can cast your vote right now on the front page of ArizonaSports.com. We've spent some time over the last couple shows kind of pondering what sports without fans would look like. One sport in America knows what it looks like without, what it feels like without fans. Professional wrestling. WrestleMania happened yesterday with no fans, Bick. And you know who watched every second of it?
Gee, I wonder who.
Not me. Not you.
You
Jared,
wish.
Jared Carlin.
It was Saturday and Sunday because this was the only WrestleMania too big for just one night.
Oh, yeah.
This actually played into the fact that... So WWE has actually been going on without fans for the last 2 weeks. And they've pre-taped a lot of stuff from their performance center.
I had no idea. Forgive my ignorance.
Yeah, same here.
Yep. So it was... So WrestleMania, they were planning to be in the Tampa Buccaneers stadium.
Yeah.
There's supposed to be 70,000 plus people. Uh-huh. And said there was nobody. And it really, really... The actual matches suffered from it. Because without the crowd involvement, it was very, very weird. You could hear the wrestlers, like, you know, talking smack to each other, which is... It was cool, but it was also very weird. The big moments.
I mean, could you actually hear them like whispering in each other's ears, like what the next move was going to be?
You know that choreography. there are. Well, this was all pre-taped, so even if they did that, they could have edited it out.
Gotcha.
But there are wrestlers that do that. Obviously, one of them is John Cena. So the great thing that they did was because they had this pre-taped and they didn't have to worry about an audience. They did two of the matches were done in the form of about 15 to 20 minute mini movies, pre-produced with music and special effects, and it was really, really cool. And it was, you had to completely suspend your disbelief even more than normal and pretend like you were watching a TV show. But it was something that was so different and well done that that was what this WrestleMania will be remembered for, because the actual matches, the regular matches, the big moments fell way flatter than they would have normally.
Yeah.
And so is Rob Gronkowski a worthy champion? That's the
Rob Gronkowski is now the 24/7 WWE champion after night two of WrestleMania.
Is that a new thing?
It is. It is new within the last 6 months.
Okay, good. Because I've been clamoring for years that they need more champions.
Right. Your question was just dripping with sincerity.
Well, see, the 24/7 title can be defended anywhere at any time. So
it doesn't even have to be in an empty studio.
That's right. So keep an eye on Rob Gronkowski's social media, because I'm sure he'll be of a run-in with another wrestler now at the club, if the club was open.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, you'd give it...
It's very hard to
judge.
How
many elbow drops?
Different than anything. A scale from 1 to 10, I'd say a 7, and it's the actual WrestleMania part was about a 5, but the two pre-recorded movie matches were two of the best things I've ever seen.
Hey, well, here's the big takeaway, Vinny. We know that Jarrett, for whatever reason, loves wrestling, all right? So and so that would be like a comp for football or baseball or golf or whatever it is with us. And so if he's seeing it now without fans and it's a 7.5, that's a win, right? So you enjoyed it.
Well, especially because the stuff that they got really creative and made different was the best stuff.
Right.
So if the other sports can be creative and make their sports a little different if they have to, people will be into it.
To compensate. Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey,
they're
making do. I give them credit for that. This day in sports history, on this date, 1958, Bick. Arnold Palmer won the Masters for the first time. His first
Speaking
major.
Of lemonade.
Yeah, exactly. We got a theme going on today. The first of his four Masters wins. In 1987, Sugar Ray Leonard beat Marvelous Marvin Hagler to win the WBC Middleweight Championship. On this date in 1992, Duke won their second straight NCAA championship. They beat Michigan by 20 points, 71-51. Just last year on this date, the Tampa Bay Lightning beat the Boston Bruins 6-3 for their 62nd win, tying an NHL regular season record. And then they went out and got swept by Columbus first round of the playoffs.
That's right.
Locally, 1993, this is the anniversary of Dan Marley's memorable buzzer beater for the Suns. 35-footer to beat the Lakers, 115-114. That made the Suns 5-0 against the Lakers that year. That's the first time that had happened. And then, of course, they played the Lakers in the first round of the playoffs and nearly lost to an 8 seed. Remember that shot? That's the one where he climbed up on the scorer's table?
Yes, I do kind of remember that.
And today is also the 51st birthday of Paul Rudd, actor. Are you a Paul Rudd fan?
Yeah, he's
Ant-Man.
Yeah. Yeah, he's cool.
Ant-Man, I think I just jotted down some of his movies. I think my favorite Paul Rudd movie that he kind of carried. I loved I Love You, Man, and I loved Role Models both. But he's been in so many good movies. You know what movie I rewatched recently does not get mentioned enough as a great comedy that he had a bit part in? Walk Hard, The Dewey Cox Story. Have
great
you ever
movie.
Seen it?
Oh, Jared shaking his head, yes.
It
very
is
funny.
Hilarious.
Really?
Yes. I highly recommend it.
You would like it,
Okay.
Dan.
All right.
All right. There you go. Wow.
I'm going to go home and watch it.
4 hours up already. Thanks to Ryan Rosillo and Pedro Gomez for joining us. Thanks to you for listening. Enjoy the rest of your day. Be safe. Burns and Gambo are up next. We'll catch you tomorrow.